faiths here. And you will never catch me preaching about denominations, because I really don't care what denomination you are. What I care about is if you love Jesus and if you've asked Jesus to be inside of your heart and live there and be your Savior. It's really all my concern is. And so I have given it a little break on our current series that we're doing because I really felt like God wanted me to preach this morning about His timing. About His timing. And I want to tell you that God's timing is perfect. But I will remind you that God's timing is not your timing. God's not going to do things just because you've gotten impatient and you're sick of waiting. God's timing is perfect. And so that's what I want to minister to you about this morning. God's timing will do two things in your life. Number one, God's timing is perfect. And the two things that it does is it grows your faith, number one. The timing of God will grow your faith. Why? Because, see, in that season where you're waiting, you're believing God that He's going to do what He's told you He would do. And you're having to stay in faith. Now, you can stay in faith or you can stay in fear, but you're going to be in one of those two places. And I encourage you this morning to stay in faith. So the first thing that it does is it grows your faith because you are forced to wait and to trust. And the second thing that God's timing does, and I've seen this so prevalent over the years of being a believer, is that the timing of God ensures that God is going to get the glory for what has gone on. There are things that only God can do, and those things, by the time He's done doing them, there will be no mistaking that God did that. If your mama could do it for you, it would not be a miracle. Amen? Because your mama would do just about anything for you if you've got a good one. Go with me this morning to Psalms chapter 31 and verse 15. And here is David, and we're ministering this morning about the timing of God, that it's perfect. And this is David telling God in verse 15, "My times are in your hands." And, you know, I hope that you've put all your time limits away and you've put everything in the hand of God. Because God knows the right timing for everything in your life that you're believing Him for. He knows when to give it to you. There's things, and you've been asking God, "Lord, why have you not made that come to pass yet?" Look here, if He gave it to you too early, you'd mess it up. If it happened too early for you, something wouldn't be what it needs to be. There are some things that you're going to just have to wait on. And so he says here, "My times are in your hands. Deliver me from my enemies and from those who pursue me." So I encourage you this morning to put time in God's hands. If you are believing Him for something, if you are trusting Him to do something for you, I encourage you to put the timing of that in His hands, because if you don't, you're going to be frustrated. How many of you have ever been frustrated because something didn't happen when you wanted it to, and you're going, "Come on, God, it's been like 30 days. Now, if you're me, I'm like, God, it has been 30 minutes. I mean, what are we waiting on?" You know, but the thing about God is, it's just what I said, by the time that something happens and it was a God thing, there's not going to be a mistake. Everybody's going to know that that was God. And you know what you're going through, and I want to just put this into your heart right now. Whatever it is that you're going through right now in your life, it is not just about you. So many times we get in the heat of the battle and we want to think, "Well, it's just me that's suffering." But you know what? Let me tell you something. There are people that are watching your life, and they're depending on you to be the Christian that you claim to be. Because they're watching, and they're wanting to know, is this person really a Christian? How are they on their worst days? I've realized that I know who I am because I've had enough bad days. I see where I need to grow on the bad days. Amen. So, some of what goes on in your life does not play out until years later. There's things that you're going through right now, and you're thinking, why am I going through this? You may not know for 5 more years. You may not know for 1 more year. You may not know for 6 more months, but God does not waste anything. How many of you ever went to public school? Well, I guess it's in any school. Well, when I was in school, we were in Scranton. Dad's going, oh, God, what is she going to tell about herself? Nothing too bad. But I went to Scranton, and Scranton was a pretty small school at that time. It may still be. I don't really keep up with schools. I got too much to do. But they had the best cooks at that school. And don't get offended. If you're religious in here, don't get offended about what I'm about to say. But they were all Catholic. Now, my husband's Catholic. But let me tell you something about Catholic folks. I don't know why this is, but I've never met a Catholic that was a bad cook, ever. Ever. Now, I'm not Catholic. And I'm not the best cook. But we were in school. And we all, this was before everything got messed up and they tried to make you healthy. But them little ladies, they would make us the best lunches. But we knew every single Friday what we were going to have. And here's what it was. Whatever was left over from the first 4 days. They were going to put it all together and they were going to make something of that. Now, every Friday was a great meal, and they put a lot of weird things together, but it worked. Why am I telling you this? Because here's the thing about your life. Whatever you're going through, God will not waste one bit of it. God's not going to waste it. Not even one little kernel of corn will he waste it. Not one little problem have you gone through that God will waste. He's going to use it all. He's going to use it for your good. He's going to use it for his glory. And God is perfecting the things that concern you. And so if you're believing on some things, keep believing. But look here, God's timing is perfect. He has never been late, and he is not going to be late for you. Not one moment late. Now, I preach a lot out of what goes on in my life. And, you know, sometimes we are upset over something, and it's because we don't see the big picture. But many times what I've realized is that what you're going through that's got you so upset, it's really serving God's plan. There's things that you're going through that are bringing you to a place where God wants you to be. And a lot of times we're upset over the very thing that we're going through. But see, God is making those things come about for us, and they're bringing us right exactly to that place that we need to be at. So about a year and a half ago, everybody knows that I like to be super involved in the community. And we have here probably one of the biggest gifts that Logan County has, and that's Tanya. Tanya is, I'm probably going to missay this, but to me she's the president of the town. That's what I think. But Tanya, she has told me for a couple years, she said, you know, you need to get involved in what's called the leadership course. Well, you know what? I just thought I was too busy for that. But I kept hearing God say, you know, you really do need to do that. There's some things I want to show you about your community so you can be more effective. And that was one of the best things that I did for a year. We were in that. But at the time, you know, Wednesday we have food distributions. And Wednesdays are one of my favoritest days, and they're one of my most tiredest days. But I love Wednesdays, and that's the day that we distribute food in the community. And one of the things about the leadership class is that a lot of those events take place on a Wednesday. And every time one of those events took place and I had to go to it, instead of go to the food distribution, I kind of mumbled and groaned to myself. But God is so funny about how he works things out. I'm going to tell you all a story, and I have trouble telling quick stories, so just bear with me. But on a Wednesday, about a year and a half ago, we went up to what I believe was Boonville, and we had lunch with some folks. One of the people that we had lunch with was our state representative, John Eubanks. Now, if John Eubanks, and no, I don't preach politics either, but I'm just going to tell you this. If you ever see his name on the ballot, you need to vote for him because that's a good guy. And anyhow, John Eubanks was at this lunch. I'm going to let some, are we okay, Brother Sam? Are we getting cold? How many of you are cold now? All right. Everybody's just up and walking around. I didn't know. Do we need an intermission? I mean, I just got started. What the heck? I'm going to let some things. All right. I think we're good. If you needed a potty break, you just missed it. Okay. I'm like a squirrel, and so is my attention span. So we are at lunch, and we are eating, and this is John Eubanks. Well, I didn't know who he was. I just ate a sandwich with him. So we're sitting there, and he starts asking me all about what I do, and I began to tell him what we did. And before I knew it, the first year, we got a check from him. The church did. For our food ministry. It was a grant that he nominated for us, and we got that. Well, I just thought that was the greatest thing ever. So back in December of this year, of last year, apparently he had nominated us for that again, but I did not know anything about that. So in March, a couple weeks ago, this guy from the Hunger Alliance, He called me and he said, Kelly, John Eubanks nominated you guys again for this grant, and you have had that check, and you guys have not cashed that check, didn't use those funds, and you got to use those funds. I said, well, we never got those funds. And he said, well, I'm going to make sure somehow over the next couple of weeks that y'all get those funds. And I said, okay, you know, not that big of a deal. Well, I'm one of those people that I'm a real pushover with my kids. Is anybody else a pushover? I know I'm kind of changing topics, but it's going to all go together. Well, I've always wanted to take them to Disney because I also love being punished. I'm kidding. Unless you want to walk 20 miles a day and lose your religion about 37 times a day, don't go to Disney because you're going to get yourself up in a foul mood. But I took the kids, Frank and I took the kids to Disney on spring break. And I, after that trip, I was like, my God, what did I do to myself? I feel like I aged 10 years. We were sitting in the airport, and my mind was just like fried because I'd just done this trip. And all of a sudden, my phone rings. And automatically, I think, I am not answering that phone. I don't want to talk to nobody. And then I felt like God saying, you need to answer the phone. So I get up on the phone, and it's this guy from the Hunger Alliance again. And he says, Kelly, I want to get this check to you tomorrow, and I want to come down to Paris to give it to you. I said, well, I'm sorry, but I ain't going to be in Paris tomorrow. I've got to be at a meeting the first day back. I said, I'm in the airport right now, and I've got to be at a meeting, and I just can't do it. Can't do it tomorrow. Well, he started talking about a meeting he had to go to. And I thought, well, we talked about 5 more minutes, and I said, where exactly are you going tomorrow? And he said, I'm going to go to the food meeting tomorrow. We always have an annual food meeting the church does to keep up their contract in several places from all around. We have that. And I said, you know what? This is crazy, but I'm going to be at that same meeting that you're in. And he's like, well, we want to give you the check right then and there. And I said, well, hey, that's going to be great. Our director will be there also. We'll have all three of us. That'll be great. Well, I didn't think another thing about it, Tommy. I thought, well, we're going to finally get the check that we should have gotten in December. Frank and I, the next morning, we're driving up to Fort Smith to go to our meeting. Let me tell you something. Going to meetings after a trip to Disney is a really tough thing to do. And so I was just like getting my mind in meeting mode after it's been in Disney mode for a week. And I get this number coming up on my phone again. And I was just like, my God, I wish these weird numbers would quit calling, because if they're trying to offer me insurance again, I'm going to hang up the phone. I don't want no insurance, and I am not talking to them. So answer the phone again, Jack. And this little chipper chick, she gets on the phone, and she says, "This is Brianna from KNWA. I said, "Really? I think you got the wrong number." And she said, "No, is this Pastor Kelly?" I said, "Well, yeah, it's Pastor Kelly." And she said, "Kelly, we want to do a story on you and the church, because we have heard from so many people that you're doing some really amazing things down there." And I began to tell her, and she said, "Well, I want to come down to Paris today." I said, "I am not going to be in Paris today. I've got to be at a meeting today in Fort Smith." And I began to tell her about how important this meeting was. She said, "One of my camera guys lives in Fort Smith. He's going to be up there with you if you'll let him." And, you know, if we would have ever tried to orchestrate that meeting, it would have been very difficult, because we would have had to get the Hunger Alliance guy. He's not from around here. We would have had to get him there. We would have had to get the news station there. We would have also had to get the director of the River Valley Regional Food Bank there. And we would have had to get me there all at the same time. But see, just in a matter of about 12 to 15 hours, God wrapped all those people and made sure they'd all be in the same place at the very right time. And, you know, there's times in your life where, you know, a year and a half ago, Tanya, I would never think certain things would be going on right now. But a lot of the good that has gone on was just because, you know, you're open to say, "You know what, God, I'll do what you want me to do." So many times we're asking God, you know, to do something, and we want it on our time frame, but we're not willing to let God do anything with our time. "Oh, I ain't got time for that. Nope, I ain't got time for this." Now, Brother Mike, do we have that picture? And we'll be putting this on the Facebook page too, but I want you guys to see what your church is doing, because where's little Junior? Or Bub, can you get down and turn them lights out so people can see? So this guy on the left here, this is Lance, and he is from the Hunger Alliance Relief for the state of Arkansas. And there was us on Wednesday morning, and we received that grant for that. And then do you have the video, Brother Mike? They're working on it. Let me tell you, the sound guys have the biggest job in the building, and I don't envy them.
.6% of the population reporting this issue. KNWA's Brianna Moore spoke with one local organization who's working to support their community and just received a grant to do just that. Brianna.
Good morning. Well, that is right. The Paris Christian Center received a $1,000 grant from the Arkansas Hunger Alliance. Now, this is in addition to an even larger grant from the Arkansas Economic Development Commission to aid them in completing a new dining hall and food pantry. The center has several outreach programs like food drive, through distributions on Wednesdays, and a mobile food pantry, which is a way for the organization to deliver free bags of groceries to the elderly. They also have a standard food pantry that is available 7 days a week via appointment. I spoke with Kelly Sprick, who is the pastor of Paris Christian Center. This church was founded by her parents in the 1980s, and she says that they work to try to be there anytime someone is in need of something to eat.
Most of the time, we have some volunteers that are easily accessible to be able to go to the church and get a box of food for people, and we have lots of food to give. So I'm so excited and so blessed to be able to just be a small part of ending food insecurity in my area, and it is an amazing thing.
Sprick says if you are in need of an appointment, you can arrange it through their Facebook page. An organization worked to help their community with food insecurity one day at a time. Perry, I'm going to send it back over to you at the desk.
Thank you, Brianna. I always love seeing that in our community.
So that was one of the things that really stuck out to me. And I was just amazed all week about how God just aligned that so amazing. Yesterday I got a call from a lady, and she was actually in the hospital, and she said, Pastor Kelly, we've never had to do this before, but this lady is just insistent. She's a patient here. She's just insistent that she get to talk to you. I was like, okay. Well, I get on the phone with her, and the moment I get on the phone, she just is weeping. And she said, you know, the Christmas box that y'all gave me on Christmas, and she began to talk about this Christmas box. And, you know, to be honest with you, there's times in your life where you're doing things and you're doing them maybe out of habit or out of routine. And, you know, at Christmas, I was glad that we did everything that we did with the boxes and everything, but I wasn't just sitting there thinking, after I did it, Alyssa, I just thought, okay. We're done with this. We're going to move on to the next thing. You know, and I didn't really just sit there and meditate after we did it, anything else about it. And here we've got this lady on the phone, and she is just crying. And she said, you know what? There's been so many times I've been so low, but I kept going back to Christmas Day that somebody cared enough about us that they brought those boxes in. And so, you know, there's things that you may go through, or there's things that God may have you do. And in the moment, you're not thinking that those are really big things, but you know what? They're getting you to the place where God wants you to be. Go with me now to Psalms chapter 18 and verse 30. And here is what I've learned about the timing of God. Psalms chapter 18 and verse 30, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless, and he is a shield for all who take refuge in him. The ways that God has for you that he's going to bring about the thing that you are believing him for, his way is perfect. There's not a flaw in it. There are many times when we are sitting there and we're asking God, you know, God, I've been going through this for 5 years. When is this battle going to be over? Or, Lord, I've been believing for this for a long time. When are you going to make this come to pass? He won't be a minute late. He will not be a minute late for you. And we have to trust that his timing is perfect. So one of the things that I want to bring out is right here in his word where it says that his way is perfect, which means that his timing is perfect. Verse 31, it says, for who is God besides the Lord, and who is the rock except for our God? Go with me now to Isaiah chapter 55, and we're going to look at verses 8 and 9. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 through 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. So, how many of you have you ever tried to just help God with some things and you did it your way? The cleanup work that has to be done after we do something our way is usually astronomical. There have been things that I have tried to do, and I thought, I am going to make this happen, come hell or high water. Well, for sure, the hell water and the hell came because I did it myself. It was all a Kelly move. But see, God's thoughts are not our thoughts. Neither are our ways his ways. And the way that God wants to get that answer to prayer to you is probably very original. It's just going to be something. You know, if God could show you how he will do something, you probably wouldn't believe it. I remember putting a little, this table right here, that's why I keep it up here, because I refer to it a lot. I put that table outside for about 4 months. And that table started what is now the thriving food ministry right here in this church. But that was my thought. God's thought went so much more beyond that. And there's times where you're thinking that you know what the solution is to your problem. And let me tell you something, you don't know it in full. Whatever you could think up for yourself, God's already thought of so much more. God's already thought of so much more. And a lot of times we are brokenhearted because something didn't happen and we feel like time ran out and it didn't get to happen. Let me tell you something. God's timing is perfect for your life.
Amen. Thank you, God.
You're not out of time.
Amen.
If God told you that he was going to do that for you in your life, God's going to do what he told you he would do. I'm going to give you some of the best advice that I can give you. Get to know what he's saying about your life. A lot of believers are good people, but they don't know what the heck God's saying about their life. Why? Because we're very stimulated. Very stimulated. We've got our phone. You know, cell phones were meant to relieve you of stress. They really, that's what they were supposed to do in the beginning. How many of you lose your phone 17 times a day? The amount of stress that I feel when I feel like I've lost that phone, I feel like the world's coming to an end when I think I've lost that little devil. And it is a little devil. But, you know, we're so overstimulated that if we can't get something that we want from God within 5 minutes, we're totally hacked at him.
Glory to God.
Well, Mike, is God even real?
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you something. If every time you go through something hard, you're asking if God's real, you need to get back down on your knees and you need to pray that through. Because there's going to be things in your life that aren't great. Why? Because the word says in this life you're going to have trials and you're going to have some tribulation.
Yep.
But it tells you to be of good cheer. To be of good cheer. I always told God, God, I'll answer the call on my life, but here's how it's going to have to happen. Let me tell you something. None of it happened like that. And in fact, I started my pastoring in a pandemic, and I'm not the smartest person. I had never even heard the word pandemic until 5 years ago. And I went to God one day, and I said, God, are you sure you want me preaching in the middle of a pandemic? I mean, there's people been preaching for 30 years, and they've quit because this is really difficult. But you know what? For such a time as this, God has put you right where you're at. In the season that you're in the place where you're at, because you know what? God's timing is perfect for your life. And he's working it out. And he's not going to do it how you wanted him to, more than likely. He's not going to do it how you wanted him to do it, when you wanted him to do it, but it's going to be right. It's going to be right. Go with me to Psalms chapter 37. We're going to look at verse 7. And here's another verse for people that have trouble waiting. But people also have trouble doing something else, and it's called being still.
Yes.
Being still. Psalms chapter 37, verse 7. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him.
Amen.
Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. And that's a really hard thing to do in the society that we live in, because everything is geared to get you to not have to wait. You ever notice that? What do you think that your food apps are for? How many of you got the McDonald's app on your phone? Okay, here's my favorite. How about the Sonic app? You know, my number one charge on my credit card the first year of my pastoring in the pandemic, you know what it was? Sonic. Every day. Multiple times in a day. And just the fact I did not get diabetes was a miracle. Because, boy, I was chugging them cherry Dr. Peppers like they were nothing. But those apps are all to get it to where you don't have to wait. You just pull up and they're going to give you your thing. I was in Disney. This is the craziest thing to me. I thought that I needed to go to get a PhD just to go to Disney World. That's how crazy this is. But let me explain something to you. When you go to Disney, you schedule, if you have any common sense in your brain, which I don't, and I didn't know that this was a thing, but my travel agent told me it was, you schedule your ride. Everybody's looking at me like, what? Yes. You make an appointment to get on these rides, okay? Well, we went to four parks that had tons of rides. And Russ, for somebody like me to have to make an appointment for three or four of us, Frank finally tapped out. He was like, I'm not doing this no more. I'm just sick of it. Nope, not going to do it. And I was thinking, this is awful. But the immediate gratification that I felt when I just got to walk up to that line and not have to wait, I was like, well, this is worth it. And in my mind, I thought it was worth it. But then when I sat back and really evaluated the trip, I thought, you know what my kids learned was you don't gotta wait. And we live in a society where a lot of people are not waiting. And there is beauty in the waiting. There really, really is. When you go and you hop from one thing to another, it's going to all be a blur at some point in your life. There are people, they will not give God 1 second before they hop from one thing to another. From one relationship to another, from one job to another, from one church to another, from one whatever to another. Something don't please you, you get offended, and you're going to do whatever. Look, let me tell you something. There's going to be times where you're having to wait because you done messed your own self up. How'd you do it? By not waiting. So the Word of God, it tells us to be still. Be still before God. We went to a restaurant up there. How many of you ever seen Toy Story? I love that little show. It just makes you feel all warm and gooey inside. You know, you got a friend in me. It's just great. Well, we went to a place called Roundup Rodeo. Oh, my gosh. They fed you stuff family style, but they said when you hear Woody's voice, you stop everything you're doing. So there were servers, and they were like this for like 30 seconds. And then there were people eating their corn. And I thought, this is funny because God is trying to get us as a nation. Jeremy, shh. God is trying to get us to be still. To be still. Be glad I'm not Brother Angelo, because back in the day, 30 years ago, he'd have just give you the microphone. Glory to God. How many of you ever seen him do it?
Amen. Glory to God.
He used to announce my whippings from the pulpit. Be like, Kelly May, Beatrice Florenciano, you've got 10 licks coming. No, he never gave me 10 licks, but I mean, it kind of felt like I was going to. I always prayed for amnesia. God let him just forget. He never did. Ever. But God is wanting you to be still, and he's wanting you to wait. Be still. Be still. I'm going to read that verse again. We've had a lot of distractions in this service. Psalm chapter 37, verse 7. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. The next part of this verse is very important. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways. I'm going to tell you something. There's times where you're believing God for something, and one of the main reasons it's not happening is because you're looking at everybody else and you're saying, well, God, it happened for them. Why is it not happening for me? Stop doing that. Stop doing that. Stop comparing yourself to anybody else. Because the moment that you do that, you ensure yourself to lose. What God's going to do for you is unique to you. Stop trying to figure out how he's going to do it. Stop trying to figure out when he's going to do it. Y'all remember Y2K? I remember sitting in a service horrified in 1999 thinking, oh my God, Jesus is coming back at 11:59 tonight. We were in church. About 5 minutes after that, I'm like, I still got some time to work some things out. But you need to quit trying to predict everything that's going on in your life, and you just need to say, God, I'm free to do what you want me to do. Because whatever you've thought up for yourself, even if it's good, it's not even half as good as what God's thought up for you. Not even half as good. Let's go now to Lamentations chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 21 through 26. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. So there's some things that you need to recall back in your mind. When we get impatient, when we start wondering why God is allowing it to take so long, you know, from the time that we applied for the Manna Center grant to today, that was almost 3 years ago. Well, in my mind, when we got approved for that, I thought that building was going to be up in 30 days. I never thought that was going to take 3 years. Let me tell you something. I wasn't ready for it. If it would have happened 3 years ago, I wouldn't have been ready for that. There's things, and you're asking God, God, why hasn't this happened yet? Let me tell you, he is preparing you for the thing that you are asking him for.
He said he is. Thank you, Lord.
And don't be mad at him when you ain't ready for it. Say, God, prepare me. Prepare me. I was ministering to somebody yesterday, and we were talking, and this person said, you know, I just don't like to be broken. I said, I don't like to be broken either, but here is the best thing for a believer. Sometimes you've been through some stuff, and it wears on you, it's worn you out, and you're asking God how much longer. And I told this person, I said, you know, the thing for a believer is that when we're broken right in the palm of his hand. It's not like we're broken and we're on our own. were broken right there in the palm of his hand, and God is not letting you go. He's not letting your concerns go. He's not letting the thing that you're worried about. He's got that. And if we could just get that, we could enjoy our life. How many of you got something you're believing God for right now? Okay. If I said, that thing that you're believing God for, that's going to happen in exactly 1 month. You know what you'd do? You'd be like, okay, I'm not going to worry about that anymore. It's going to happen in a month. There we go. Many times you're concerned because of the unknown. You don't know how long it's going to take. And let me tell you something. God knows. Be anxious for nothing. Amen. Be anxious for nothing. Amen. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They never fail. They are new every morning, and great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. I want to ask you this morning, what are you saying to yourself? What are you saying to yourself? You know, the woman with the issue of blood, she stopped and she said to herself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know that I'll be healed. You're saying something to yourself about whatever you're going through. And unless what you're saying lines up with the Word of God, you're getting yourself off track. Why? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So whatever you're saying over your situation, you better pray to God that it lines up with the Word. Because if not, you're going to say some things over your life. And look here, there's times where I've said, this ain't never going to get any better. And guess what? It didn't. Why are we talking about what we speak? Because the Word says that the world was spoken into existence. The Word also says, if you'll speak to the mountain and have faith like a mustard seed, the mountain will be moved if you tell it to move. That's how important what you're speaking over your situation really is. What are you speaking over it? Speaking is very important. The Word also says, man does not live by bread alone, but we live off of every single word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It is very important that you know what God is saying about you and your life and your problem. How do you get to know what God is saying about that? You get into the Word. And when you're having a problem in your health, you better look up that verse that says, by his stripes we are healed. And you begin to say to your body, in the name of Jesus, body, you line up with the Word and you are healed right now in Jesus' name. I speak that healing over my life. When you get in, you're having mental problems and you feel like you're going to have a breakdown, you speak that Word over your life and over your mind, and you lay hands over your own self and you say, now God has not given me the spirit of fear, but he has given me power, love, and a sound mind. And so in the name of Jesus, I speak that sound mind over myself right now, and I tell that mind to be still. And when that mind wants to go to negativity, I'm going to go back to the Word that says God has already given me the victory. You got to know the Word, because when you're sitting there and you're doubting God every time something happens in your life, the devil has just gotten a foothold. The Word says, don't give the devil a foothold, because if you give him an inch, he's going to come right in. And he's going to sit down and he's going to have tea and crumpets with you. Amen. Now, I like tea. I just don't like having them with the devil. Amen. But the devil comes to steal, to kill and to destroy. But God came that you'd have life, but a certain kind of life. What kind of life is it? Life abundantly. Life abundantly. And I'm not even talking about money, but I'm not excluding it. God came for you to have an abundant life. Lots of peace. A lot of people don't have peace. Lots of patience. Joy. God's timing is perfect. If I could convince you today that your situation is going to work out, then I've done my job. Go to Romans chapter 8, verse 28. God works for the good of those that love Him. I'm not saying you're going to have to be perfect, because that would disqualify all of us. But I'm asking you to love God more than you've ever loved Him before. Trust God more than you've ever trusted Him before. You know what? God knows you're going through some hard things. He knows what you're up against. He knows what the doctors have said. He knows what the banker has said. He knows that you're tired. He knows that you're weary. Look here. God is coming, and He's looking to give you some rest.
Amen. Thank you.
What do we got to do to come into that rest? The Word says, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." A lot of people are unrested because they won't go to God and just say, "God, I'm tired. God, I'm tired." We want to keep up with the Joneses to the point we're exhausted just because we're trying to keep up with what everybody else is doing. You know what? I made a conscious decision when I got back off of my vacation, and here's what it was. I'm not going to be posting a bunch of pictures that we did at Disney because of one factor. I don't want to be somebody that somebody's trying to outdo. That's a lot of pressure on people. Because let me tell you something, if you can't take your kid to Disney, that don't mean you don't love them. We're looking to the left and we're looking to the right and we're just trying to go and do and go and do. And then we get worn out wondering why something hadn't come through. Most of our bad decisions have happened because we're exhausted and we made them out of exhaustion. I'm asking you, get into a season of your life where you give God some attention. I know it's fun to sit there and eat bonbons and Netflix binge. I get it because I like it just as much as the next person. But what I like even more is the God to use me. If I had a dollar for every time somebody has asked me if my house has sold, I'd have enough money to pay that sucker off and not worry about it. No, it ain't sold, and I ain't messed up over it. Because here's what I know. It ain't happened yet because it ain't time yet. It ain't happened yet because it ain't time yet. Why? Probably because God's preparing me and God's preparing that other group of folks going to get it. And it's going to be a blessing to them. Now I want to talk to the believer here for a moment. This is one of the most unjudgmental churches you'll probably ever go to in your life. And I've worked hard for it to be that way. But there's a lot of times where we are observing things in other people's lives, things that they're going through. And we're looking at them and we're saying, "Well, that probably happened because they did this, this, and this, and God's punishing them." Let me tell you something. You're in error if that's how you are. We don't need to look at people and think that we know anything about why they're going through whatever they're going through in their life. We need to be praying for them, because let me tell you something. We don't know what we're going to go through. But here's what we know. We serve a God that's timing is perfect. His ways are perfect. The things that He does is perfect. You know, before I ever in person met Melissa Hilton, I sold her a T-shirt. And she said, is there anything I can pray? I said, please pray for my mother, Millie. She's got cancer. Let me tell you something. There are people that if you'll just be the Christian you're supposed to be, God will send people that you don't even know to pray for you. Be that Christian. Instead of looking at people thinking, well, that happened because they're a jerk. That happened to them because they done this, this, and this. Let me tell you something. Stop thinking what happened to somebody. Because let me tell you something. It won't be no time. You'll go through something, and you'll want somebody to just love on you and just pray for you. Last place for me this morning. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. How many of you, you still got lots of spunk in you and you're a fighter. You'll fight for something. This verse is for you. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it is by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. I'm going to read that to you again, but before I do, I'm going to pray a prayer over you. Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask that you'd open every single heart. And God, the words out of your word, I ask that you'd let them sink in and be planted today, right now, in Jesus' name, all over the place. It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. For whoever this is in here today, I don't know if you're in here. I don't know if you're watching Facebook. I don't know. But I know this is for somebody, probably more than just one person. You've been asking God, Lord, what do I got to do for this to just be over? God, what do I got to do for this trial to be done? Lord, what do I got to do to just be able to move on? Right here. It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. When you have done everything that you can do to stand, you need to just stand. It's not a matter of fighting. It's not a matter of you having to figure it out. It's a matter of you knowing that you know that you know. It's not by anything that you could do. It's by God. It's by God. It's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. I want to encourage you today to put all your time limits in the hand of God. Say, you know what, God? You know I really need this. You know I really want this. But right now I put that in your hand because you have the perfect timing for me in my life. Y'all stand to your feet. If you have an area of your life and you're getting impatient, I'm going to ask you while you're standing there to just open that heart up and receive the word that you've gotten today. Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank you, God, for every single person under the sound of my voice. God, I thank you that you've already figured out what's going on with them. Lord, you've got the answer, and God, you will bring it to pass. It's a for sure thing. So God, we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I did something that I would consider a miracle today. I ended this service 8 minutes early. Now, here's what we need to do. Y'all all stay in here. Sherry, Frank, Bobby, Jeremiah, Sam, y'all go over here. How many of y'all like bacon? Tyler, you too, hon. We got bacon. We got eggs. We got some frozen meat. We've got lots of oranges. all these things, and I want nobody to come back there until 12 o'clock because we're going to get this ready for you. But we are going to start right here at this door, and we're going to let all the people with gray hair go first, okay?